Morning, everyone. So glad to be here again to share God's word with you. This is the third part of a series about how to use our tongue. King was right. We're not going to refrain our tongue from praising God, but we control our tongue according to God's will. Praise God, no refrain. But as we learned before, there were foolish tongues and evil tongues that we should avoid. But today we'll look at the tongue can also be the best thing that God has ever given us. It can bring much blessings if you use your tongue according to God's will. 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, I felt so down, depressed, and exhausted after Sunday school teaching and then preaching. And then we had a 4-hour long elder deacon board meeting. At the end of that, I was exhausted. And I felt discouraged after the whole day of ministry. Since I'm always cheerful and smiling, you'll notice that most of the times you see me, I will have a smile on my face. But that day, when I went back home, there was no smile. The smile was gone. And Nina noticed that, because whenever I was with her, I would always be very happy with a smile on my face. She noticed that I was not feeling okay. I tried to smile, but the joy was not in my heart. I could not force it. As I recalled, many things added up to this point of discouragement. So many things happened the month before. Deacon Linnea was not here for a whole month, and there are many things that happened that I needed to be responsible for. Welcoming Pastor Todd, that was joyful. And then farewelling James, that was depressing for me. I was happy for him, but we have lost a great co-worker. And Sue also left us for MIT. And there were some other things that happened that I just felt discouraged. Because of time restraints, I cannot tell you everything that happens. But as the minister, the English minister of our church, wearing many hats at the same time, I understand why a gifted and experienced pastor, after preaching a sermon on a Sunday, immediately left the church, drove back home, hid himself in the closet and wept in the closet. Why? After hearing that, I could even feel the discouragement that the pastor had while trying to give to all to the people who needed him when he was in need. Who was there for him? According to Bonner Research Group, a Christian research group's report on July 10, 2006, pastors might be employed in one of society's most demanding professions. And many churchgoers may place unrealistic expectations on their leaders. The pastors are expected to be superhuman, to give their all to all, and often themselves feel helpless, discouraged, and lonely. Not just the pastor. If you have ever been a leader, you will understand being a leader is not easy. You can be discouraged very easily, and you can feel lonely because you are on top. You try to oversee people, you try to give to people, and it's hard for people under their care to understand the leaders also need to be cared for. The leaders can also be discouraged. Even Superman in the movie, he had a woman who loved him, and he was discouraged also. But pastors are not the only people who feel discouraged in their lives. Have you ever felt discouragement in your life? Do you feel discouraged even at this moment in your life? Let me give you some examples. Sunday school teachers can feel discouraged. Why? Because the student might come to class often late, unprepared, unexcited, and uninterested. They might just come to the class, just go through the motion, sit there without participating when the Sunday school teachers ask a question. Nobody answers. Quietness. The student simply would look at the clock. What time is it? And then, you understand that. And then, they look forward to the moment that, okay, that's the end of the class. And they don't even say thank you to the Sunday school teachers. Do you know how much time the Sunday school teachers spend in preparing for the lessons? How much thought they put into that to help you to learn? And yet, you don't even say thank you to them. They can be discouraged. Not just teachers, even students can be discouraged. You know what I mean? You go to school, the teachers seem to just care about covering the material. There is a curriculum to follow. You have to finish that by a certain day. Or otherwise, the teachers might be in trouble. That's why they try to just push through the material without caring whether you understand it or not. And they don't care about what the students are feeling, as if the students are just someone taking up a seat, often maybe a student number, according to the system. That's why students can be discouraged. Do you work? Are you a manager in your firm? Managers can be discouraged. If you have ever managed before, you know it's frustrating to manage. The managers tries to do everything they can to make sure people work in harmony. And yet all that the managers hear is complain. Complain about this person, complain about that person, and even complaining that the manager is not being fair. Is it just for managers? Employees can be discouraged. Have you worked before being employed with a boss, a manager above you? You work so hard. You think that you deserve a compliment. You think that you deserve a raise. You think that you deserve a promotion. And yet, the manager or the boss promoted a lazy coworker. Why? You don't understand. Because the coworker is often very good at establishing relationship with the boss. I mean, there are some very harsh terms to describe such people, but they are such people in the secular world. It is true. So the hard workers often feel discouraged. What's the point of me working so hard? Wives can get discouraged. Wives try so hard to take care of the house, doing all the housework, taking care of the kids. Try to cook the best meals that they can. And yet, when the husbands and the kids get back home, they just stretch out their hands to receive, but never say thank you, never appreciate the mom's hard work, sometimes even criticizing. This doesn't taste good. I don't like this. I'm getting sick of eating this. Mom seems to always cook the same plate, dishes all the time. Sometimes you get tired of that without knowing how hard the mom tried in cooking that meal that might be her specialty. Even husbands can be discouraged. Why? Husbands typically, in a single income family, husbands are the person who earns the money, the breadwinner. And yet, they work so hard to make the money. And they also work so hard to fix the problems in houses. If you have a house, you notice that it's usually the dad who fixes all the problems in the house. And yet, all that the husbands hear is that from the wife, why are you not as romantic as my friend's husband? Can you be more romantic? And mom and dad can be discouraged. Think about that. Moms and dads, they work so hard to provide you everything, the kids who are not making a living by yourself, not having a job, not making any money, and yet you're enjoying all the free benefits. And yet you take everything for granted. You never say thank you to what your mom and dad continue to do to provide for you, or otherwise you will be homeless. And yet you don't even say thank you. When a mom or the dad asks you to do a little house chore, you complain. You even would argue with your mom or dad. That's not fair. I'm busy. I'm surfing the web. Don't disturb me. Think about who provides the internet connection and everything in the house. Who are you to say no when your mom or dad is in need of your help? Sound familiar? But even you, children, you can't be discouraged. Because often the mom or dad, they think that they're older, they're smarter, they know more. As a result, they don't listen to you when you speak. Even if it's reasonable, sometimes they don't listen to you. Diana, you heard what I mean? So we can't all be discouraged. I'm just showing you that discouragement is an unavoidable experience in life. All can be discouraged. I am no exception myself. Discouragement takes all the joy away. If you don't try to resolve the discouragement, what will be the next thing that will happen? If it's in a relationship or whatever you're doing, you think about, I'm going to quit. If you're discouraged for too long, you'll think about quitting. It's no good. How can we overcome discouragement in our life so that we can restore joy in our heart again, so that we would hold on to the commitments in the different roles in our lives? What I mentioned, the different roles? Stick to your commitment. Finish it well for God, so that many other people will be blessed when you do that. Proverbs tells us how we can restore joy when we are discouraged. How we can hold on to our commitment to God and continue to do good works for God by God's power. There are four things we'll learn. And if we do them, not just hearing them, if you just hear it and forget it, it's of no use to you. And you continue to live a discouraged life yourself, and you discourage others as well. So hear it, think about it, understand it, and put that into practice, and you'll be blessed. Alright, the first thing that you can do to restore joy when you're discouraged is to speak kind words to one another. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says that, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. As I mentioned, the demands of life can be so great that you feel worried, anxious. The new semester has started, and there's so much schoolwork already. Everyone expects me to get A pluses, but I'm no superman or superwoman. When you're left alone to handle all the challenges in your life, you know what? If it goes on for too long, you feel discouraged, because you see your limitations in facing life's challenges by yourself. That's why it says that anxiety weighs a man down. What does it mean that anxiety weighs a man down? Here it gives us a very good picture what it is like. Weighs down in Hebrew means to bow down as a prisoner of war to the captors. If you're captured in a war and you have to bow down to your captors, how would you feel? You feel humiliated, you feel defeated, you feel that I'm going to give up, even my knife. It's a feeling of defeat and discouragement when someone is weighed down by anxiety and the burdens in life. But a kind word cheers him up. At this moment, if someone shows up to speak words of encouragement, to show support, this person will feel that I am not alone, and I have strength because someone will help me to share the burden. As a result, that person can face the challenges again, not by himself or herself, but with a friend who speaks words of encouragement and also encourage you in action. When I felt so depressed, so down, so exhausted, I am blessed. Because I'm married to a woman who knows how to encourage me when I feel down. Although I could not force a smile, she noticed that, and she spent the whole afternoon just talking to me, listening to me, sharing my burdens. And I felt much better after that, because there is someone who understands. And I'm very glad, not just glad, because the Friday after that Sunday, I had lunch with Brother Matt, and he cheered me up. I didn't share the burdens, but after talking to my wife, I already felt lightened up, and when I had lunch with him, he further cheered me up and cracked up some jokes that made me laugh. Not only did he speak kind words to me to help me, to encourage me, but he also in action took away many of the burdens that I put on the shoulder of the English minister, but actually it is for the whole congregation, not just one person. The minister is asked to equip the saints, not to do all the work by the saints. The saints should be trained to take up the responsibility God has for each one of you together. As believers of Jesus Christ, in a big family we call church, it's a big family we call church. Let us be sensitive to people's needs, including the pastors, the ministers, the elders, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, and other leaders of the church. If you truly hear them out, what they feel inside, they will often say that they feel lonely. Almost no exception, the leaders feel lonely, fighting the battle by themselves. It's impossible for the pastor or the minister to care for everyone personally, because he has many other responsibilities to fulfill. If each one of us tries to just encourage one person or two people in your life of your age group in the church, think about that. Everyone will be personally encouraged and cared for. So this is for everyone. Speak kind words to one another, not just to want to hear kind words from people, but you speak kind words to other people, not just in words but also in action, to encourage people around you. If everyone does that, I think the church will be a completely different place where people will come to be encouraged and they will do the work God wants them to do together. And people will be attracted to come to church because this is a place where they can be encouraged not to come here, and yet nobody even talks to them as if they are strangers. So let us all be encouragers. Not just expecting people to encourage us, but we also try to encourage others. We have received the benefits of encouragement. How helpful that was to us. Do that to others. Second, these timely words to one another. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23 says that a man finds joy in giving an apt or appropriate or right reply. And how good is a timely word? All right, David? Saying the right thing at the right time gives joy not only to the receiver, the hearer, but also to the person who gives. Because you see that, I can be of help to someone when I encourage someone. Timely words are not just limited to words of encouragement, but also words of love, words of rebuke, words of peacemaking. When you speak that at the right time, it will be beneficial. But the right time is very crucial. Think about that. Someone is in great need, is sad, and you talk to that person 1 month later. It's too late. I have been in a non-distance relationship, romantic relationship. And yet I learned that it was extremely difficult. One in mainland China, one in the United States. Very hard. Why? One reason why non-distance relationships don't work out most of the time, it is because lovers in a romantic relationship, they expect each other to meet deep needs in each other. You know why? Because of the non-distance, it makes it difficult to fulfill such a need. When the need is there, and yet that person is thousands of miles away. When a sneaky guy or a girl comes to meet that need, usually it's the third person who wins the competition. Obviously, the third person who is physically there, present, who can meet a need in a timely manner, offering timely words of encouragement. So when you see the opportunity to speak words of encouragement, kindness to a brother or sister in need, don't procrastinate. Act on it immediately and timely. Not only would you give joy to the person who hears it, but you will experience great joy when you do that. Disclaimer: I'm not suggesting that you should get another person's boyfriend or girlfriend who is in a long-distance relationship, okay? You can't do that by your sinful nature. Don't misapply this teaching, okay? It works, I'm telling you, but don't do that. Because you can get yourself in more harm than good. Not only to the person you're trying to pursue, but also the person who is thousands of miles away. It hurts your Christian testimony. I suggest that brothers help brothers. Sisters help sisters. If you have to help a brother or a sister, make sure you don't go out alone if you are not in a dating relationship. Clear? Because it can often cause misunderstanding and a lot of hurt later. I experienced that and I have seen a lot of such cases. That's why I am advising you not to do that. Very hurtful. The third thing, speak cheerful words to one another. Look at the girl. So cheerful with the sunflower and such a bright smile. Don't you just want to smile when you see someone coming to you like that? Speak cheerful words to one another. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 30 says that a cheerful note brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bone. Wow. A positive person's encouragement, whether it is nonverbal, just looking at you cheerfully, it will already encourage you. Or verbal, to share a good news, helpful, uplifting news that brings joy to the heart. And then brings even health to the body when you're ill you hear good news, someone speaks cheerful words to you, it helps you to recover faster. It is proven that a joyful heart, the Bible says that it's the best medicine, even when you are physically ill. There was a renowned photographer whose name is Edward, who eventually became one of the world's most renowned photographers. But he almost gave up on the day he shot his first pictures. Why? At 16, he bought a camera and he took 50 pictures. You know what? Only one picture turned out okay. He messed up 49 pictures. What did that say? The dad said, "That was poor, poor showing. You don't have talent gift in that. Try it no more." But the mom insisted that the one picture that was taken okay was not just okay, it was so beautiful. It was a picture of Edward's sister by the piano. It was so beautiful that it compensated for 49 failures. The mom's encouragement convinced the youngster to continue to stick with his new hobby and not give up. He stayed with it and has become one of the best photographers in the whole world. But it had been a close call. David.
What's his name?
His whole name is Edward Saint Chen, spelled as S-T-E-I-C-H-E-N. You can Google it. Probably you can find him. Saint Chen, like Captain Chen, but before that, S-T-E-I, Saint Chen. So, it's probably not an American last name. So what tipped the scale? What made the difference in this case? It is the vision to spot excellence in the midst of another failures, to be able to see excellence even in failures. That is called vision. The vision to spot excellence even in another failures that comes from a kind heart. Without a kind heart, the mom would not be able to do that. The mom loves the son. The mom was kind to the son. That's why he could spot excellence even in failures. So the question now, finally, is how can we have a kind heart? Ultimately, it's the heart. If you don't have a kind heart, you cannot force any true, good, encouraging, cheerful words that will help people. People can see it. People can tell that if you're just faking it. Four, the key to have a kind heart is to depend on the source of all kindness. God is the source of all kindness. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3, Paul praised God in a very personal way. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. God is the God of compassion and comfort. When we are in trouble, we will be comforted by God if we seek God's face. And then, experiencing the comfort from God, we will know how to comfort others. Have you ever experienced comfort from God? I believe those people who comfort me, it's because they have experienced comfort in their lives from God directly through the Holy Spirit, or indirectly through a loving and kind person who did the same to them. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says that there are 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, love and kindness being the two of them. And this comes from the Holy Spirit. Someone who is close to God through prayer, through God's word, through continual reliance, dependence on God, that person will be able to give sacrificially, unconditionally, and show true kindness. If you're not God's friend, you're not close to God, they need I don't think you can do that. So depend on God by depending on the Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to speak kind, timely, and cheerful words to encourage the discouraged people around you. I'm often cheered up, not only by my wife, my brother Ned, some other co-workers, but one very distinct example, you will all agree with me, is Deacon Lillian, who always speaks kind, timely, and cheerful words to encourage me and other people. And he did many things humbly and timely to take away my burden as the English minister. She really understands the burden of the English minister that many do not understand. If you have attended elder or deacon board meetings, you'll see that not only is she kind, but she is very, very smart and wise, but humble and helpful at the same time. That's what's amazing. Someone who is very knowledgeable, wise, usually they have a tendency to be proud. But she's always ready to help. No questions asked. She's not here today, that's why I'm speaking all the good things about her. I hope that she is here so that I can express my appreciation of her personally. But if I ever even talk to her or call her, you have my experience as well. Whenever I call her, she will pick up the phone. I can almost see her smile when she's talking to me. She will say, "Hi, Minister Tan, how are you?" Very cheerful. I cannot do it myself, sorry, I'm not Deacon Lillian. But immediately I feel cheered up. She's not forcing it. Some people might hear the minister's phone call and say, "Oh no, it's Minister Tan again." And they're forced to pretend that, "Oh yes, what can I do for you?" But she was so cheerful, unpretended. And last Thursday, I called her. She just landed in Boston. And immediately she answered my call cheerfully. Same greeting, cheerful greeting with a smile, I believe. Within 15 minutes, she solved three problems for me after I talked to her. She immediately got to the problems and solved them, including this Sunday worship's helper arrangement, a praise team moderator or pianist schedule mistake. The schedule somehow got messed up by some other people, so people got shifted in the column. So there was some confusion. And she also took up the youth Sunday school teaching, because there was one potential Sunday school teacher who could not make it. I asked, "Would you be able to teach youth Sunday school? Would you pray about it?" She was so certain that this is what God wanted her to do. She said, "Yes, I'm available immediately." Most people would say, "Okay, give me a few weeks. Let me pray about that." Usually, I respect such people, they believe in the power of God's affirmation. But usually, such people are not very sure about where God wants them to do. But when you're really sure, usually, it doesn't have to take months to pray. I heard of people who prayed before dating a girl for 3 months and still ended up breaking up. So if you are sure of God's calling, you should pray about it. But the name of prayer does not prove that you are more spiritual. Besides opening the telephone conversation cheerfully, she often ends the phone call affirming that whatever help I need, she says, "Wherever I am, just give me a call and I'll get to it immediately." That's why whenever I talk to her, when she was away for that month, I refrained myself from calling her because I knew she would try to help me no matter what. But I wanted her to just spend the time with her daughter and her granddaughter. Now it's Grandma Deacon Lillian, alright? She just had a granddaughter. She cheers me up. At times that I feel like people don't really understand the needs of this small congregation, as brother child prayed, small, weak, needing a lot of help. Sometimes I almost feel like I need to beg people to help, see the needs, help. We are young people, but we are as important as the adults, right, in God's eyes. So pay attention. Next time Deacon Linnaeus speaks, typically he'll come out after the response song, and then she'll reflect on what was in the song, and then praise God and praise the praise team leaders and the praise team members, and even the speaker, the preacher's message, cheerfully. Very encouraging. Pay attention next time when she comes out. You can learn a lot from her. But how do we do it in our life, besides learning from a good example? Here are my suggestions that will help you to resolve the discouragement by following what we have learned. To speak a kind, timely, cheerful words that's from our hearts. If you're a Sunday school teacher, here is my suggestion. Besides spending the time preparing for your lessons, teach well, make sure you would divide the word of God correctly. You will not misinterpret the word. That's very crucial. But at the same time, pay attention to your students. Pay attention to their body language. If someone is sad, no smile on the face, period. That's the time you can offer some words of encouragement. They are human beings, not just people who come to absorb the knowledge. They have needs. And they often are discouraged in their walk of life. If you're a Sunday school student, come to your Sunday school class on time. Be excited, be interested, and be ready to participate when the Sunday school teacher wants you to participate. Instead of asking a question and no one answers that, the Sunday school teacher sometimes just feels embarrassed. I'm not going to ask any more questions. And yet, questions help you to think, help you to have a discussion, to have better understanding of what you are learning. David? You know what? That's what you'll see a lot if the Sunday school teacher is honest. Because God's wisdom is so profound, infinite, that no human being can understand everything. But a good Sunday school teacher would say, David, this is a question I don't know the answer yet, but I know how to find out the answer for you. I will give you the answer later, after this lesson. Either in person or next lesson, I'll address that. Make sure you remind the teacher, because the teacher might be busy. But a good teacher will always study what he or she does not know. But no Sunday school teacher or preacher or pastor knows everything about God. Alright? Does that answer your question? Alright? So even if you ask your mom or dad, there are times that they will not know the answer, and that is okay. As long as they try to help you through that, appreciate their efforts. Even your mom or dad, even someone with a PhD does not know everything. Even the most excellent surgeons, doctors of the brain, will admit how little they know about the brain functions. Maybe only 10 to 15%. That's the best that we know after so many years of studies. Okay? What if you're the manager of your company? Recognize your subordinates. Your manager, someone is working for you, under you. Recognize their efforts. Appreciate them for a great job they have done for you. Maybe even take them to lunch or dinner, a meal together as a group. If you're a husband, praise your wives. Praise your wives for her good taste of a nice haircut, new dress, new shoes. You know, they spend a lot of time doing window shopping, maybe shop for 10 times, and finally they made a decision. And you better appreciate that, because they have made a very good decision in their eyes. And try to appreciate the little things. I know, hearing women talk, I found out that they often know how to appreciate each other in those little things that guys often do not know how to appreciate. So as husbands, learn to appreciate your wives in those little things. It's okay to praise your wife for her beauty, for her good taste, good choice of clothing, of shoes, of hairstyle. And try to spend more time with your wife, who has spent so much time doing all the work for the house, cooking. Praise her for the cooking, for the hard work, and spend time to listen to her. Instead of watching the TV, surfing the web, playing video games, more time than you are willing to listen. If you're a son or a daughter, many of you here are sons or daughters whose parents, your parents are still alive. Thank your mom or dad over and over again for everything that your mom and dad has worked so hard to provide you for. And you're receiving for free, that's great. But let's be thankful for the grace that we receive. Don't argue with them when they ask you to just do one little simple chore in the house. No excuses. Parents, listen to your kids when they speak to you. It might not be very profound, but they want to speak to you as a son or a daughter who just wants to have the time with you. Also, if there is any reasonable request, fulfill that need, fulfill that request for them. And lastly, don't forget to smile. I'd like to end this message by taking a picture of each one of you together. Let's learn how to smile, alright? I don't see any smile on your face. Cheer up. If you really cannot force it, that's okay. And when I see that in the picture, you're not smiling, I'll try to encourage you after this, alright? And I actually have a camera with me. So I do want to take a picture of you. So always remind me of you. Help me to remember you in my prayer. So, say cheese, okay? When I say 3, 2, 1, this side and then this side. And I will email you to remind you that you had those cheerful moments. Share this with others around you. Smile. It's not too hard to just smile. It's not a sin to smile. Okay, let's take a picture. Comforts us when we are in trouble, and He wants us to do the same to those people around us. Learn how to use our tongue to build up people. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your compassion, for your comfort to us many, many times when we were in trouble, when we were discouraged to the point that we don't even want to continue the commitment that we have. Even some prophets in the Old Testament, like Elijah, after doing so many things for God alone, he wanted God to just take away his life. He was discouraged. We too can be discouraged, especially the leaders of the church. I just pray that you will personally comfort the leaders of the church, and you personally comfort each one of us, but let us not stay at just receiving comfort and kindness, but let us also be givers of kindness, of compassion, of love to the world that is dying for love. I pray that you will make this congregation a smiling congregation, a cheerful congregation, an encouraging congregation. May we do great things for you and attract the people that you know who are not coming to church to you. When they come to the church and they are encouraged by the love from you to us. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.